2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 12. Verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man is sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, Antichrist, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things?" What the world is experiencing today is exactly what the Scripture describes here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We are watching this be played out in the day that we live in, right now around us. What an exciting time to live if we know our Bibles and to see all of this taking place.
It's time to take a stand with Eric Barger. Each week at this time, author, speaker, and noted Christian apologist Eric Barger is here to help you discern the times in the light of God's Word. And now, here's Eric Barger.
Hello, everybody. Eric Barger here. Take a Stand Radio is on the air. Well, this is week number 3 of the teaching Bible Prophecy and the Occult. Glad you're with me again this week. If you missed weeks 1 or 2, go to our website, ericbarger.com. Go to the radio archive page and you can listen to all of the podcasts, all the radio programs we've ever done here on Take a Stand Radio. And of course, you can catch up with weeks 1 and week 2. We've been playing part of the audio soundtrack of my seminar DVD teaching, also entitled Bible Prophecy and the Occult. And it's part of the special offer we've got this week. But due to time constraints, let's get right into the message. This is week number 3, and I'll be back with you in just a few minutes. Signs and lying wonders, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. In John Gill's exposition of the Bible, and he is a great 18th century Baptist orator and pastor from Great Britain. John Gill wrote about this phrase, talking about lying signs and wonders. And when he spoke about this, and I'll just quote him, he says, "Signs and lying wonders, that is, such signs and miracles as are not real, but reigned only in appearance, not in truth, like those that were done by the magicians of Egypt. And these were done to countenance lies and to induce persons to believe them." So oftentimes when you see a magician, he does a trick and he's doing this to make you believe that he has some sort of supernatural power behind it. And some, such as David Blaine and Chris Angel, Mind Freak and others, I believe they do have demonic power that is working in their lives. Some others, it's only sleight of hand tricks. I believe the magicians of Egypt, that was more than sleight of hand tricks for sure. The magicians of Egypt were masters of fakery. They incorporated deception along with satanic power to completely manipulate the lives of people and even the entire nation. Now let's look here, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, and I want to just look at the words that are used in three major versions of the Bible. King James Version, we've already read, signs and lying wonders. The NIV version says counterfeit miracles, signs and wonders. The New American Standard Version says signs and false wonders. Now, all those are perfectly acceptable translations of this particular passage. The word lying that we see there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, is the Greek word pseudo. That's where we get the word pseudonym from. This is a conscious or intentional falsehood, whatever is not what it seems, according to Strong's Concordance and their definition. And this is Strong's word 5579, if you want to study it out. We see the same word used by the Lord Jesus in his end times teaching in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24. So lying is talking about pseudo. It appears to be something but really isn't. It's a counterfeit miracle, sign, and wonder. It's not a real sign and wonder. When the Lord Jesus walked on the earth and he healed people and he raised the dead and he turned the water into wine and did all the other marvelous things he did, those were real signs and wonders. When Antichrist and his band of renown show up, and it'll just be more than Antichrist doing these signs and wonders, these will be counterfeit signs and wonders, at least those who are approaching as Antichrist's system approaches. better said, I think, it's when Antichrist shows up, he will have real live demonic anointing, supernatural power. But those in the run-up period where we are today, this is really what I want to say, in the run-up period where we're going today, where we are right now, these are counterfeit signs and wonders that we're seeing. Again, 2 Thessalonians 2:9 says, "The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders." You see, we are all, every one of us, those watching on DVD or video, those of us here in this auditorium, everybody in this world, we are all being conditioned to accept as normal signs and lying wonders. It's happening to us every day. It's been happening day after day, compounded for decades. We're all being conditioned to this. How? Well, it's pretty simple, folks. Through motion picture screens, through television sets, through computer monitors. You know, and I am not against any of those three modems. I am not against motion pictures. They can be used for the glory of God. I'm certainly not against television sets. We're recording this so that people can watch it on a TV set. I'm not against computer monitors. I have one sitting right here. That's not the issue here. We're being desensitized about lying signs and wonders by what is being produced today. We're all being conditioned to accept these miracles. And some of the marvelous effects that can be done now with computers, just think how real they look. You almost sit and wonder, how in the world did they do that? Because it looks like that bridge just blew apart. Or it looks like, you know, that spaceship actually flew through space, or whatever the case might be. We're being conditioned again and again and again. Our young people know nothing more than this. You know, young people that are 30 and under, this is all they have seen. They have seen the Star Wars and Star Trek generation and all of the other motion pictures and TV shows that have had supernatural themes. And it doesn't take much. Just go look at the TV guide and you can see the themes of the TV shows in this particular season as we record this particular video in October 2006. You can see it. This current conditioning to accept supernaturalism is systematically preparing the way for the appearance of the Antichrist. Now, I don't know what it's going to take to bring Antichrist in the world. Maybe a complete financial collapse that takes place after a limited nuclear war that fulfills Ezekiel 38. I don't know. It's nothing to laugh about, but I don't know what it's going to take. All I know is something is going to happen to catapult Antichrist into a position because the people of the world will do anything to have economic peace and stability and to make sure that we don't blow ourselves and this planet to smithereens. They'll do anything. And that's a dangerous place, and I believe that's where we are today. The UN's not going to do it. Our president, our cabinet, our government's not going to do it. The Israeli government's not going to do it. The Muslim world isn't going to do it. Nobody is going to be able to bring the peace to the world. I mean, it's laughable to say the Muslim governments. Nobody can do this. Antichrist will come along, and he'll have upon him a demonic power, an anointing, if you will, that will catapult him into this position. You see, the rise and the acceptance of the occult in the culture that we live in is without any doubt prophetic. Paul is speaking to this run-up period in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that we're in right now, just before Antichrist gets here, with counterfeit, lying miracles, signs and wonders that we're all being desensitized to accept. Now, Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talks about the signs of the times. So it's exactly where we are. False Christ and false prophets will appear. Think about how many times we have seen this in our lifetimes. Right now in Miami, there is a man claiming to be Jesus Christ and claiming that he can change any of the words he said before when he was here before as Jesus Christ. He has thousands of people following him here in the United States, but tens of thousands in South America following him. And then, of course, Jim Jones and David Koresh and others who have claimed to have been Christ along the way. And we have wars and worldwide unrest and rumors of wars. There's small wars being fought all around the world that don't make the attention of the 30 minutes given to the nightly news each day. The famines and the pestilence and the disorder in the natural culture of the world, so to speak. the earthquakes and natural disasters that we see increasing each year, the persecution and martyrdom of the saints, with dozens of Christians being killed around the world every month for the cause of Christ in a day that we would think is somewhat civilized. And of course, at the same time, while all this bad stuff is going on, worldwide evangelism, people coming to Christ from all corners of the world, missionaries going out into the world, being sent with the gospel of Jesus Christ to preach the truth that others would be saved. We see it going on. You know, Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says something so I think interesting here that parallels what Paul said. In verse 12 of Matthew 24, Jesus said, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Now, that's the same word. That word iniquity is the word anomia that the Apostle Paul uses back there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I believe it's verse 9 without looking. This is contempt and violation for God's spiritual law. Because iniquity will abound, the love of many will wax cold. Well, if you correlate the word iniquity with the occult, because the occult is abounding, the love of many is waxing cold. And I believe the acceptance of the occult as normal in the time that we live in is iniquity abounding before our very eyes today. We're seeing it take place. We're seeing fulfillment of Scripture taking place. Remember, the word abomination. Remember that? Remember back in Deuteronomy chapter 18, I used the word abomination three times as I read from the King James Version. God's Word speaks that word, abomination. Three times we see it in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 12. Well, I want you to know this is the strongest condemnatory language used anywhere in the entire Bible out of the mouth of God about any issue. God has reserved this to speak about the works of the occult, iniquity abounding. This iniquity with demonic supernaturalism and the intrigue that the culture sees with this demonic supernaturalism, this iniquity we see is causing the love and devotion of countless Christians to grow cold. This is a warning for the Christian church to recognize what is happening, to guard your heart and mind, to guard your eye gate and ear gate, to be careful, not paranoid, but careful about what you allow to go into your heart and mind and who you allow to influence you in these days. Eric Barger here, folks. You're listening to Bible Prophecy and the Occult. This is week number 3 of our teaching from my DVD of the same name. I'll be back with you in just a few minutes. So what shall we do? What is the answer for us concerning these things if indeed we are living in the times that I've described to you, that I believe Scripture describes to us? Number one, we need to recognize and deal with the end days and the trend of moral and spiritual deception that we see taking place right now. Recognizing it and dealing with it and making the decision that we will walk in the holiness and purity of God, which doesn't mean legalism, and it doesn't mean we walk around on eggshells spiritually, but if you understand what's going on, you'll be much better equipped to be able to fend off these ideals when they begin to try to infest themselves in your life or your home or even your church. Number two, spiritually fortify your home and family. There ain't no time like the present to start studying God's Word and becoming men and women of prayer and making the decision that we will be worshipers and evangelists to spread the gospel and share with the lost and dying world. Spiritually fortify your home and family. Number three, train up your children with a focus on God and warn them about the deception. I won't give you all the details, but I've had several occasions when I've watched my grandchildren that I've had a great effect with and great bond with, because my daughter had open heart surgery when the two older grandchildren were younger, and because they live with us and they spent a lot of time with Melanie and I, went out on the road with us. I have watched them be able to say no to things that have come their direction, even from their friends at church who were trying to get them involved in stuff like Pokemon and Harry Potter books. I've watched my granddaughters make an influence on those other kids by saying no, even though it might have meant ridicule for them. They had made the decision that they wanted to serve God and follow Him. So train the children with a focus on God, warning them of growing deception. Number four, everybody listening needs to pray for discernment. there is a genuine lack of discernment and in the carnal-minded church around us. And there's so many, we don't know if they're next to us in the pews or they're across the street at the other church or whatever they might be. I just know there is a great lack of discernment in all corners of the church today. The church world, Christians need to pray for discernment and not just try to see how much we can get away with and still call ourselves Christians, but see how close to the cross we can walk that we would absolutely know that we're locked in and tuned into the truth and the power of God and into His perfect will. Number five, we need to contend through spiritual warfare. You know, when we make a stand opposing some of the powers of darkness that are being pushed on us, and you know, it's not just one Hollywood movie or one DVD or one cartoon or one book, even as powerful as the Harry Potter novels were. It's a compilation of all of that together. But when we make stands against some of these individual things going on and being accepted by the culture, I guarantee one thing, as we do spiritual warfare, as we pray, as we come against the forces of darkness, it's going to be a tough go. I know that. But the natural result of the church doing spiritual warfare, and I teach this all through my series on spiritual warfare, the natural result is that somebody gets saved. That's a natural outgrowth of spiritual warfare. As we stand against evil, people come to Christ. Somebody's eternity is at stake, and somebody out there who may ridicule us for doing so, they don't know it. They're counting on us to stand against evil, that they might be brought to a place where they recognize their need for Christ. We need to rule out being depressed or distraught or falling into despair about the things that I've talked about in this message. None of that's going to help anybody. So rule that out right away. This is a time for action and a time for prayer and a time for allowing the joy of the Lord and His mighty power to reign in your life. Anybody who knows me personally, off the platform, away from the public ministry, knows that I don't walk around with a shroud of doom and gloom or a cloud over my head. I've always thought of myself as a real positive guy that God had called to minister and to write about and to speak about some negative issues. But I don't do so. I don't speak on these things with a doom and gloom attitude. I know these signs are telling me Jesus is coming soon. I'm going to see my Lord and Savior before long. I know that. You are too. Each of us who know Him are going to see Him and will embrace Him. God is desiring to powerfully pour out His Spirit on the church in these days. It is our choice whether we allow Him to craft us into vessels fit for His power or not. And our choices either allow or negate God's blessing in our own lives. It's up to us. Now let me close by giving the Apostle Paul's end time checklist for you to recap what we've learned, especially about this long passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here's his end time checklist. Do not be deceived. The end days are preceded by a great falling away of those who have professed to be Christians. There will be overwhelming violations of God's will and law through hidden occult means. This will be promoted by various and varying displays of supernatural power, signs, and lying wonders designed to seduce and desensitize the world. Deceived by unrighteousness, people will not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So God will send them an overwhelming delusion which masks their judgment and causes them to accept counterfeits instead of the truth. They will take pleasure in ultimate unrighteous acts in the sight of God. And according to Deuteronomy chapter 18, this is exactly what we're talking about, witchcraft and sorcery and the occult. They will decide they want those things instead of the power of God. These are the signs that Jesus is indeed coming soon. The signs of the times are with us. We're watching it happen. Get ready. In the meantime, do not be deceived. God is completely serious about the world of the occult. He has given us His word. He's used the strongest language possible to speak against it. And our position about these issues must be His. Can I just say lovingly to us, how dare we entertain ourselves with images and sights and sounds that God's word calls so heinous and deplorable? How can we expect God to answer our prayers, to bless our lives, to take care of us, to protect us, to keep us, and to fill us with His power, and make us who he's called us to be if we're out spending hour after hour, day after day, month after month, year after year, filling up our hearts and minds with images that his word completely renounces. And so for you who are struggling with this issue, I'll give you one scripture as we close. Jonah 2 and verse 8 in the Old Testament simply asks the question, why forfeit the grace that could be yours, all for worthless idols? And that's a great question to ask. Why would we want something different than what God has offered to us from his word? He has offered us a great deal, folks. It is time that we take him up on it. For those of you who are struggling in this issue, those of you whose libraries are full of occult DVDs, maybe you have occult books at home, maybe you have literature and games on your computers that you wouldn't be at all pleased if you thought the Lord Jesus were standing in the room watching you play, then I encourage you to repent, come to him, confess that you've done these things, and walk on with your life. Move on with him. Walk away from those things that would drag you backwards. And walk on toward the power, the authority, and the salvation that he gave his life for. Father, I praise you and I thank you now. And I ask, oh God, that each person here and every person watching by DVD or video will be touched by your power to know your truth, to be set free from the deceptions of this world, to not be caught up with the counterfeit miracles, lying signs and wonders that we see being brought to us each and every day, being fed to us, being offered to us, even as if it were at a temple for idols. Oh God, I pray right now that each of us would be able, by your power, to reject those things which are not true and to accept only your truth. We pray this, Father. We believe for it for every person here. In Jesus' name,
amen and amen. Well, once again, everybody, this is Eric Barger back in the studio again. You're listening to Take a Stand Radio. We've been listening this week to week number 3 of Bible Prophecy and the Occult. You've been listening to the soundtrack of my live DVD teaching by that same name. And during this radio series, we featured several things from the audio soundtrack of the DVD. But of course, there's lots of slides and visuals that I teach with in my live teaching when I'm out in seminars and conferences that are not available here on the radio because you can't see all the visuals, you can't see all the slides. But you can obtain all those with the DVD, Bible Prophecy and the Occult. It is sure to make an impact upon you and your family and your friends, and it's an ideal tool to use in a home Bible study group or a home fellowship. But the DVD is just one of the 3 items we're offering this week, and I hope you'll take advantage of all 3 of these. Along with the DVD, we're also offering my book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware, The End Time Occult Invasion. Lots of chapters on things that are relevant to us today and how the occult has become normal in the culture we live in. And also a fabulous book by my colleague Jill Martin Ritchie. She's the daughter of the late, great Walter Martin, and her book is called The Kingdom of the Occult. Some of you might be familiar with Dr. Martin's book, The Kingdom of the Cults. Well, Jill's book, The Kingdom of the Occult, is an exhaustive, well-written, hardcover book, over 700 pages, answers just about every question from every angle that anybody could ever ask concerning the world of the occult. Now, you can order any of these 3 resources separately or together in a discounted package. Just call us at 214-289-5244 or visit ericbarger.com for all the information. Well, everybody, as I tell you each week at this time, we are funded completely by the friends and supporters of Take a Stand Ministries, Rowlett, Texas. Come join with us, take your stand with us, and help us continue this radio ministry and our many outreaches. Thanks so much. Have a great week. I'll talk to you again next week. God bless you.
With nearly 3 decades of experience, Eric Barger and Take a Stand Ministries exist to see the lost saved and the church changed by providing cutting-edge insight on issues facing us today. This is a listener-supported ministry, and your participation is needed. Please consider a gift to help Eric and Take a Stand challenge both the world and the church. Send your gifts and requests for products mentioned on this broadcast to Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. That's Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. Or call us at 214-289-5244. This is John Clemens reminding you to join us right here again next week, encouraging you to take a stand for Jesus Christ each and every day.
The book of Nehemiah tells the story of how the people of God joined with a common purpose to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Today, the church is facing the same situation the Israelites faced. Our walls are broken down, and there is much opposition, even from inside the camp. This is Eric Barger, and this is the time to take a stand against false doctrine and cultic beliefs and do battle for the lost. Under Nehemiah's leadership, it only took 52 days to rebuild the wall. Take a Stand Ministries is dedicated to mending the broken condition in today's church 52 weeks a year. I'm looking for 100 partners to give $52 or more every month to meet the needs of Take a Stand Radio. Are you one of those courageous builders willing to help? If so, please contact me today at ericbarger.com or call us at 214-289-5244. Together, let's build this wall for the King of Kings and for the sake of lost souls.